It's the Shipping Container, rocking with you on a Wednesday, and we are joined today by the man himself, the man who called, I would say, one of the first, actually, that's not true, sports is kind of going on with soccer and stuff, but the real sporting event over the weekend was the hot dog eating contest with Joey Chestnut. We are joined by Gojo, Mike Golick Jr. What's up, Gojo?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, you know what? I would say this one's like the crown jewel of 4th of July weekend. I will selfishly call it that since I was a part of it now.
And so what was it like for you? Like, explain for the people that don't know, like, where was the setup this year?
Yeah, so they were very secretive about it leading up to it because they didn't want people congregating there, but they essentially did it in an indoor location around where Nathan's Famous is in Coney Island. And so usually it's right on the corner of Surf and Stillwell on the street there. There's thousands of people that pack it. So they went indoors. It was 5 eaters on the men's and women's sides for this, so a lot smaller field. And yeah, it's like the socially distanced version of the hot dog contest all taking place inside. So it was very weird because there was no crowd, there was no noise. You could hear a lot of the eating involved, which was weird for everybody, including the eaters. But overall, like, they still made it happen. We had the number one women's eater, Mickey Sudo, break a world record on the women's side. Joey Chestnut broke the world record on the men's side. So I got to call 2 record-breaking performances, which is selfishly all I wanted out of this.
I'm kind of jealous of the lane that you have at ESPN, if I'm going to be totally honest with you.
I want it so bad. I want
the food lane.
No, it's not just the food lane, because you have the serious college games that you call, which is something that, you know, the serious sportscaster, journalism school graduates strive for, right? But then you also have the Ocho, and you have the hot dog eating contest, and you had Fantasy Island. So you live in this kind of fun world where you get to do national championship games from your house, and you get to do, like, Tuesday nights, it's the BCS, and we're breaking it down on my couch. I don't know how you've managed to get this lane for yourself, but I'm incredibly jealous of the fact that you have it.
Me too.
It is weird. I actually have to credit, like, your guys' bubble with the Levitard show, because it was me and Stu Gotts in Fantasy Island was, like, the first rattle out of the box for all that. And then starting to do stuff with you guys and weekend observations with Stu, like, all of that led me to this very strange place where now, you're right, I've totally leaned into it. Like, I was online publicly campaigning. They did on ESPN, like, 3 Saturdays ago, a bench press competition that was going on where this guy was trying to hit an 800-pound raw bench press. And I saw this dude with an ESPN Mike flag doing the sideline interview after, who I didn't know him, and he, like, did a fine job. But I was like, oh, I got this, like, as someone who spent a lot of time under a bar. And so, like, I'm tweeting at Ryan Spoon and our digital people, like, next year I need to be at this bench contest. No ifs, ands, or buts. So I'm going all the way into it now. You're right.
Okay, so I was going to ask, but it seems like, in, you know, I don't want to say that you're a jerk, but in a time of uncertainty where, you know, there's limited opportunities for certain people, you're just out here looking for all the jobs. You're going to take all the jobs, even the person who wants to be calling probably, like, SEC games and is doing sideline reporting at the bench press competition. You're like, you know what? That guy, no more opportunity for him. This is Gojo's lane. I'm taking that job from him.
Big jerk.
More or less. Yeah, no, I'm incredibly selfish when it comes to all of the world's ancillary sports. I will not be stopped. My hunger is insatiable.
I appreciate the fact that you are crediting this show in some way for your rise in the strange sports lane. But, you know, it's nice and all, but how about your couch? Looks like it could fit a couple more people, you know, when you're breaking down some of these college games or whatever. Yeah, you know, call your boys, say, hey, what are you guys up to?
I figure there's no better producer for a hot dogs, you know, calling a hot dog contest than your boy Chris, but it's fine. It's fine. You got other people.
How do you prep for a hot dog eating competition? Because I'm sure that there's stats out there that maybe you looked up, but it seems like one of those things where it's a couple days before and you're like, am I really breaking down how many hot dogs this person can eat in a minute? I feel like I could just wing it and figure this out.
Well, the thing is like, I had never done play-by-play before. Like, I had always been the color analyst for the broadcast that I had been on. And so I was really nervous. Like, I'm nervously, like, texting Adam. So Adam Amin used to do it, who's going to Fox now, but is, like, one of the best play-by-play
announcers.
He's unbelievable. And so, like, I'm nervously texting him, asking him for tips. I called him at, like, 10:30 the night before. It's like, just give me like the couple of things I need to know. But it's embarrassing, Billy. I literally spent the last 2 weeks leading up to it going on the Major League Eating YouTube page and watching them eat different yes. foods, like the other disciplines in this. Major League Eating's website does a great job of putting together their bios. So I had records. I still have the doc on my computer here that's like 6 pages long of random information about the history of the contest. You know, the guy who founded Nathan's, all this stuff on here. So I fully embarrassed myself in how much I prepped.
So this might sound like BS, but I put it on to watch it, right? Part of it was just for the absurdity that every year we broadcast, you know, a hot dog eating competition, which is, you know, ridiculous. But there was nothing on.
Who are you, Peter King over here?
I mean, no, but I'm just saying, like, I know Gojo was doing it, which added to the intrigue where I wanted to see what Gojo would do. And I was sitting there, and I... while feeling jealous that you have kind of this fun gig going on, I did feel nervous slash bad for you at a certain point, because while I'm watching it, we're halfway done and I go, man, this is 10 minutes of people just eating hot dogs, and you need to fill 10 minutes of airtime talking about how people are eating hot dogs. Not once, you need to do that 2 different times and make them both unique and fun experiences. But again, you're talking about people eating hot dogs, and you had around those maybe 20 minutes of hot dog eating another 30-35 minutes of content where you need to kind of sell the story about how this guy is better at eating hot dogs than another person is at eating hot dogs, and this guy wants to use his hot dog eating earnings to rebuild a cafeteria in his hometown. It was, while being envious of it, I was watching and I'm like, man, this is a difficult assignment. This isn't the easy thing that you'd think it would be, where it's like, ah, here's this guy, Joe Chestnut, and he's eating his 40th hot dog today. You need to fill 10 minutes just talking about hot dogs. And I was confused at the beginning because I missed the first contest. I tuned in a little bit late. And the carnival barker guy, whatever his name is, Carl or something, what's his name?
George.
That guy's intense.
He is intense. Right? But he's holding the microphone, and I was so confused the first 4 minutes or so in, where you guys are doing play-by-play, and George is in the background screaming into this microphone, and I'm like, is that even connected? Who is he talking to? Because he's not on the air right now. So is he does George know that they canceled the crowd this year? Like, what is George up to? And then we finally checked in with George, like, Mike, I see that he's at a great pace this year, and I think he's going to possibly break the record. And he said, nah. And it's like, dude, calm down. Like, we really need to slow it down. Like, I understand you get 10 minutes of airtime a year, but, like, let's relax, all right?
So, you know, he and the guy who is the analyst in the booth with me are brothers, and they are the founders and presidents of Major League Eating. Like, wow. They are
the Shea boys. Family.
Yeah, the Sheas are the first family of Major League Eating. So they're like royalty, and so it's amazing. Watching the contest for years like that, Billy, I saw George walk in, the guy who's usually up there calling it out, doing all the intros.
Goosebumps.
And it's amazing. He doesn't put the jacket on until we get to showtime. So he walks in and he hangs it up in the back. And he goes up there, and we're rehearsing the stuff. And they're like, George, do you want to rehearse the intros? And sure. And he goes through it all. And then when he would normally get to the fever pitch, he just kind of mouths it because he's saving it for showtime. Oh, it's incredible. Like, chills when I'm in there. I'm just watching back there, and I'm like, so this is what it's going to be like. And then when the lights actually go on and he clicks into that mode, it is. It's like he's a different person. Like, he is a very mild-mannered, kind man when he's walking around there before. And then it's like he just rips a bunch of smelling salts and goes to a different place up there.
Is it like Gilbert Gottfried? Because there's this famous like clip on YouTube where it's a Gilbert Gottfried voicemail that he was leaving like Stern's producers. He was supposed to be on the following day, and he was just calling to confirm and find out where he'd call in and what the time was. And he used his real voice, not his Gilbert Gottfried voice, and sounds totally different. And I remember I saw a show or I read an article or something about Macho Man Randy Savage, where his brothers, like, one day he came on and he did the voice, and I never heard his voice again. So Gilbert Gottfried turns it on and off, I guess, when he's in performance mode and when he's not. Macho Man just became Macho Man, and then after the age of like 20 whatever, never went back. So is George the same way, where George, when the lights turn on, he becomes George, and the rest of the time he's George?
Do you know what it is? It's just like you did it, because it's a volume thing. It's not an on-off. It's just a 10 versus like a 4 in all this. So he walks around and you can still hear it. Like, it's that glimmer that lets you know he's special and better than you when he's walking around the room, but it's not quite turned up to a 10 yet where he's going to go up there and jack everybody up on stage. So I'd say it's less on off, more volume.
God, I wonder what Thanksgivings are like with that family if they're both in the same house.
That's, you know what it is? It's a lot of personality. I would imagine George, he came off as more of like the alpha in that situation. Like, Rich's a very nice guy, but when the lights were off there, like, he's very sweet and he's helping coordinate all this stuff. George is there for business. Like, he is making sure all of this is in order so I can get up there and yell about hot dogs. And so I have to imagine, like, he is probably the one bringing up politics at the dinner table at Thanksgiving.
Without putting George out there, and, you know, feel free not to answer this question if it puts you in a bad spot and it, you know, may jeopardize your future endeavors in the hot dog and competitive eating world. But does George kind of think that everybody's there to see George on the 4th of July?
No, you know what? I don't think he thinks that. I think he knows that because everyone kind of is. Like, that's what I had to explain to someone after. I was like, this guy is a part of the show. Like, as someone who watched it as much as I did, I watched to see George, so I understand, like, with great power comes great responsibility, and he is a part of it every year.
I asked that half joking, but as you're answering, you're 100% right, because eaters come and go, but George does not. George is there every year.
It is, and you know what's amazing is I didn't realize, I thought the hat was just a him thing. Like, I thought that was his look in all this, and then I started watching the other contests, and I realized there is a version of George Shea at all of these eating contests, like whether it's the Hooters chicken wing eating contest or the moon pie eating contest or like anything, there is a version of that. Like, that's the uniform. I thought that was just George's look. So that one rattled me a little bit.
I feel like maybe we didn't have you on just to talk to you about hot dogs for a long time. And I've just kind of derailed and just, I'm picking at like little obsessive things that were in the back of my head a couple days ago. So I'm sorry to the listeners and to, you know, whatever the plan for I was here, I'm sorry for ruining
there's
that.
Nothing yeah, new did, go- yeah. There's nothing new going on with Golic Jr. right now that we need to discuss. So we're going to stay right here.
Yeah,
okay. I have a question about, I'm a little skeptical of Joey Chestnut. Hear me out on this. He seems to break the record every single year. What is it? It's 10 minutes, right? The competition is
10 okay. minutes.
So I have a theory that he's capable of eating like 100 hot dogs in 10 minutes. And that his goal is that for the next 25 years, because nobody is behind him. Nobody is like on his tail to break it. So he's just like, this is good for business. I'm just going to break my record by 2 or 3 hot dogs every year and just keep breaking the record just so I can stay in the news and people think I'm like Jordan.
I would understand that if they're, you know, if the legend is true and there's a little Stu Gatz and everyone, that would be the closest there. Because the one thing that did shock me and that would give any credence to that was he looked like he, like the pace he came at on, he was at, like, we had the hot dogs per minute thing going on the side, and he was at a 10 hot dogs per minute plus pace for the first 4 or 5 minutes of the contest. Uh-huh. Like, he hit 50 dogs in an insane amount of time, and then it did slow down at the end, and when it was getting kind of close, I was amazed at that last gear that he found in like the final minute or two in this. So if you were looking to start a conspiracy, looking at the rate, the hot dog consumption rate during the contest would be the place I suggest starting. I don't know if I fully buy into it just because seeing him and Mickey Sudo, the woman who won in the women's contest after, they couldn't have looked more miserable. Like, they're covered in hot dog water. They're all swollen and bloated. The crowd's asking them to hold up the belts and like, growl into the camera, and they just looked like they wanted to be anywhere but where they were at that point. Probably they probably wanted to be on the show, but that's, you know.
When I was worried about you and what you were going to do, no lie, Chris, one of the thoughts that went through my mind was, this guy looks like he's going to die. Like, he looks like he's going to choke on these hot dogs and stop breathing. He looked so miserable with like 2 minutes left, where I thought he was going to just stop breathing and just collapse because he had so much food and just crap in his mouth that I was worried that Gojo was going to have to then fill, what do I do when a hot dog competitive eater collapses and potentially dies?
No,
and
this happens all the time.
Does the clock keep running?
Fine.
Well, no, George would be fine. George would be like, the show must go on. You know?
He would just scream an intro into his chest and it would revive.
Stop being soft. Stop being soft.
It's the 4th of July and there's hot dogs to eat.
You're a disgrace to America. I wanted to ask you also, again, if you don't care about the hot dog eating contest, this is a horrible local hour for you. So the woman who won is dating, or was dating, right, one of the male competitors. And she was talking about how they train together. Did you get any insight into how they're training for this? Because I feel like I wouldn't, you know, the week leading up to, or even the month leading up to eating 50 plus 60 hot dogs, I don't think I would be doing that. I don't think that I would be kind of doing that multiple times within a short period of time to see what I could do.
That part did amaze me. But one thing you learn is everyone's got their routine and they're all different. Like, a lot of them will pick like a number they want at the beginning, like however many, like 7, 8, 9 weeks out that they want to lead up to. And they'll start with that number, and they've got a specific amount they're looking to add every week. And so I don't know if that's where she was in their training, but yeah, they just made 90 hot dogs one weekend and went ham on all of those. He claims, his name's Nick Weary. He's, I think, the sixth ranked eater in the world. And so he said he was the gentleman and, like, you know, let her have more of the hot dogs there, which is a nice way of saying she can, you know, eat a lot of hot dogs. Like, I think her number ended up beating him by a pretty wide margin. Like, she is gifted. Mickey Sudo is an absolute force of nature. But that's the other thing. Like, they're both in really good shape. So, like, it is, like, the ultimate – like, they're the couple that completely dispels that you have to, like, be a big fat person and all this. They met in the gym at the hotel 3 years ago, the morning of the hot dog contest. They were both in there getting ready to hammer time some dogs, and then love found a way in.
What a love story.
I have so many questions. Like, how do you realize you're gifted at eating so many hot dogs in such a short amount of time? Like, how do you – it's like this thing, right? So I've always wondered – because I'm a crazy person, but I've always wondered, like, what if I'm, like, really good at playing the oboe and I just don't know it because I've never played the oboe? And I could be, like, the most talented oboe player in the world, but things just never aligned and I never took to playing the oboe, and I'm just, like, this lost, gifted talent that the world will never realize. How did they realize my gift is just eating a ton of hot dogs? Because that seems like something that a lot of people never really try. So you could be great at it and never know it, because you'd never decide, hey, you know what? I got 10 minutes. Let me see if I could shove 75 hot dogs in my mouth.
Like, Billy, for you, I kind of see you as, like, the world's best Skittle. Like, you could eat more Skittles than anybody in a 10-minute period, but you don't know that because you've never done it.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things, though. I think competitive eating, actually, based on just the way we all go through life, is one of the easier things to find out you either got it or you don't. Like, I noticed when I was leaving Coney Island, I decided to get a couple of hot dogs for the road, and I sat down in my car to eat them, and like 30 seconds later, they were both gone, and I was like, huh, I'm pretty good at eating stuff. Like, everyone eats enough to where eventually they're going to find something, try something. Like, I got asked all the time leading up, what would be your food of choice? And I instantly rattled off foods I know I could eat a lot of. So we got a pretty broad sample size of it, but then making the decision to say, well, I'm enough of a tank to go at this professionally, that I don't know. That I don't know the answer to. I need, you know what, next year, that's the feature piece I need to do of how you found your way to competitive eating, and then where do you go poop after?
Yeah, I was just going to say that has to be covered.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. Where your head's at, where you're already like, next year. I have to ask you something, though, because you went and you had two hot dogs, I think you just said, after the competition. And I'm wondering if your hot dog eating experience was similar to my experience after the first time I went to a monster truck rally. So I go to a monster truck rally, and the Canadian Crusher is one of the featured trucks at the time, right? And the Canadian Crusher crashed into the wall at a Pro Player Stadium, whatever it was called at the time, and then backed up, and like the padding from like the wall came down. It's like, whoa, this is crazy. Also, like, the Marlins are going to have to pay to fix that. That's going to be expensive. Maybe you shouldn't have crashed into that wall. But they're destroying boats. They're driving through cars. They're doing all the damage that monster truck drivers do, right? And when you're leaving the parking lot, everybody's so amped up from seeing Barefoot jump 70 feet in the air and his tire go flying off that they're hitting traffic cones and they're running through the dirt, and they think that they're monster truck drivers and they're being totally reckless in the parking lot. And you're like, thank God I'm inside a car so I don't get hit by one of these fools. But also, like, guys, you don't have this endless amount of money to just repair all the damage you're going to ultimately do to your car, right? So I'm wondering if the hot dog experience was like that for you, where you're like so jacked up on seeing people eat the hot dogs that you get the two hot dogs and you're just like, ha! And you just like throw it in your face and see if you can eat it quickly. Or you're like, you know what? I'm going to be a normal civilized person and eat this hot dog like anyone else does.
No, Billy, it's 100% that. And I've always had this theory with movies. Like, I gotta go see a fair amount of movies by myself. I live by myself. It's just the life path I've chosen. And what happens, I always find, is for 2 hours after a movie, especially if it's like a more serious movie, I adopt the mental state of that movie, so much so I won't talk to people for that 2 hour window because I don't want them to have to experience like movie me. I want them to deal with normal me and all this. And so the same goes with the hot dog contest. I remember walking down and we get out, it was like 3 stories down to the ground level. And I remember walking outside and looking at Fitz because they're doing the sidelines for us. And I was like, man, my heart is still beating really fast. At the end of that contest, I was jacked. I kept looking around at people like, this is awesome. And we didn't even have a crowd. So I 100% rolled into those dogs with malicious intent. I carried that over 110%. And I absolutely smacked them. They were like chili cheese dogs, too. They had a little X for them. And it didn't matter. They all met the same fate. It was certain death.
How are you craving hot dogs after watching that competition?
I can't imagine.
I'm craving hot dogs.
Roy, what's happening to you right now? Like, imagine doing radio hits for an entire week talking about nothing but hot dogs and having production calls. Every single time I talked about hot dogs, I craved hot dogs. And so when I finally got there in person, it was the payoff of like 2 weeks of very hungry phone calls. I needed it.
I love that you're the opposite of Daniel Day-Lewis in watching a movie where he will like become a character leading up to the role, and you basically like, it's not Daniel Day-Lewis, but you know, you see Pirates of the Caribbean and you become Jack Sparrow when you leave the theater just for a certain amount of time. Like, you take on the character after you've seen someone else do it and you're just that person.
You know what? It always manifests itself in the way, like, I don't know if you notice this in movies, especially now that smartphones like are in all movies because everyone's got them. Is when people use their smartphone in movies, they're very delicate and they're very deliberate. Like all the swipes, and I don't know if it's because it renders better on camera, but they're very slow and the taps are very pronounced. And I always find myself after movies like being very slow, like I'm being filmed. Like everything I do is there's no excess taps. I'm going through there and I'm doing it just like the people in the movie. And I'm self-aware enough, I guess, to notice, but I don't stop, which is weird.
I love that you have like something called movie me. Like, you have movie me and you have regular me. It's just really funny. Gojo, first Roy. Roy, if you're doing an eating competition, like the hot dog eating contest, what's your food that you're going with that you're most confident you can crush?
Either ribs or wings. Those are the two.
Gojo?
Moon pies or poutine fries?
Poutine fries. Oh, that brings me back to Montreal. That was so good. Oh. Okay.
Oh, I was saying, Chris, I meant to tell you, I tagged you in the tweet, but there was a guy, eater in the contest named George Chigger. He was a 6'6 redhead with his big flowing beard. Yes. He looked exactly like if you were 6'6 and went into competitive eating. And he was the one that told me. I asked him what his favorite food was, and he said, I love eating poutine. And I was like, huh, you know what? That actually is a pretty great idea. So fully stole that one from George. He's a very sweet man.
Just to glow, we mentioned it a couple minutes ago, and to close the door, because on Monday we teased the audience saying we would ask you about it. Have you done any reporting on how Joey Chestnut handles the morning after or the night after of, like, you know, the releasing of the hot dogs into the toilet?
No, and you know what? I feel like I let like my journalism predecessors down. Like, somewhere Bob Lee just sits and weeps. So next year, as I continue to speak into existence that I will be back next year, we are going to have covered fully and truly where does everyone poop.
What do they do with all the extra hot dogs? Like, is there just a stack of hot dogs that people cooked that, like, you walk off and you're like, oh, there's 800 hot dogs because we didn't reach the quota we thought we were going to make this year?
They give them to the crew down there. I saw all the extra ones were down there by the grill, and everyone who was a part of the broadcast, who was working around there, just comes by and can get free hot dogs. It's awesome.
Wow.
Gojo, you're a dog guy. You have dogs. What do you make of my take that dogs need to get over the whole fireworks thing? Like, you're not a puppy anymore. You're 7 years old.
You need to stop
old.
Asking this.
Yeah, you're 7 years old.
Stupid. Goes well.
I get it. You're like, you should know by now that these fireworks aren't going to hurt you. Get over it. Where do you stand on that? Because here's just some advice. Don't agree with me, because I've never gotten as much vitriol on Twitter as when I said this just yesterday.
Because it's stupid.
No, I was gonna say it is an objectively bad take, but like Billy said, we all have a lane. I have leaned into weird ESPN sports telecast lane, and if dogs need to get over fireworks can be a place where you can exist, then have at it. I will not be joining you. Make no mistake. If my dog is scared of anything, and they're little tiny pugs, I will cuddle them and do everything in my power to make sure that they don't feel an ounce of pain. Like, their pain is the pain of the entire world, so I can't stomach that, but...
And you'll eliminate the threat. You'll scream at thunder if you have to, for that thunder to stop and make your babies cry.
See, I feel like we're not giving dogs enough credit, though. Dogs, the first time a dog goes in the car, it's really scared. But once it learns that a car is a fun place to be, my dog loves now going in the car. Like, dogs are capable of doing things, learning, and, like, realizing, oh, this is safe. This is a safe place. I'm cool here. Like, they should know by now that the fireworks are not going to hurt them. That's it.
You know, you don't have to double and triple down on all these takes, right? Like, you could always just kind of like, you know, this one didn't take. Let me just move on to something else. You don't need to keep it going. Man.
Yeah. You know that you're wrong. You don't have to. You don't have to. Just move on.
What they call me, Double Down Chris.
You know what?
I actually call you that. Okay.
At some point, Chris and I are our father's sons. Like, at some point, those traits do just sort of leak out.
It's bad how much I'm becoming him. Anyway, Gojo, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.